From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Monday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. A good week last week of guests. We'll have more guests coming up on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. So if you missed any of that, between Chad Kelly, Aaron and Ben Napier, and more last week, you can go back, obviously, through iTunes, through our archives, listen to some of those interviews that we missed or you missed, because it was a nice week. So we appreciate all of you guys for listening, downloading, and telling friends and using our Amazon links along the way. I saw Ben Craddock out at the ATO, or I didn't see him, but I saw pictures of Ben at the ATO Gator Dash. I'm sure they raised a lot of money for Palmer Home over the weekend. So again, if any of you guys participated in that as well, we do appreciate that. Great calls, great people associated with that event. Ole Miss baseball takes 2 out of 3 from Missouri, back ending a series for the first time since March 20th of last year, winning the final two after losing the opener on Thursday night. Ole Miss has been outscored, I guess, 25-5 in the opening game of the last two series, but they come back. They beat Tanner Houck, the projected first-round pick, on Saturday, and then yesterday just beat up some pretty bad Missouri pitching at times to win 9-6, take the series, get their SEC record back to 9-9 overall. They are 99 in the conference, 25-15 overall, headed into the Governor's Cup Tuesday against Mississippi State. Greer Holston will pitch that game for the Rebels, the freshman out of Long Beach, Mississippi, to transfer to IMG Academy to finish his prep career. So they will do that before heading to Arkansas on Thursday. They've had a lot of success at Baum Stadium over the years. Tough place to play, though. Ole Miss and Arkansas beginning Thursday night for that series. Neil, you got your green on today, the green Cubs stuff. Is that St. Patrick's Day, or what are we doing?
No, it was Caroline had a meeting at 7:15 this morning across town.
So you just had to throw something on because it's a little chilly this morning.
I just threw something on. Literally grabbed off the top.
Okay. It's a nice sweatshirt, though.
It is a nice sweatshirt. Hoodie. Yeah, it is.
What was the green gimmick, though? Why?
I guess it was a St. Patrick's deal. It seems like, if I recall correctly, I bought this on clearance.
You decided, hey, what the heck?
Like, I was at Wrigley, and it was like on sale for five bucks, and I kind of liked it.
Gotcha.
I think I paid $5 for it.
It was worth $5.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's fine. Okay. Good enough. Just curious. Did you freak out over Tanner Houck's line over the weekend? Is it going to be okay if Cubs decide to grab him?
Yeah, what I heard, he's not pitching like a first-round pick.
He's a little wild.
Yeah. What was his velocity?
92, 93.
What was his off-speed stuff?
It was good. Sharp. A lot of late break on a fastball, too.
He'll be fine.
He's trended down because when he first got to Missouri, he was like 95, 96. I mean, would even touch a 7 occasionally. And it's just kind of dwindled over the last couple of years. It's 92, 93. Still got the life, but the velocity's a little down.
It's really about, does it move? Do you throw strikes? And then it's about your differential between your fastball and your off-speed stuff. Is it significant enough to throw hitters off and keep them off
balance?
You
can go read it. Perfect Game had a big feature on him Saturday, I believe. So they profiled his draft status and kind of what he's been like at Missouri. So.
I watched Bronson Arroyo yesterday.
Still pitching.
Well, and just artistically doing it. Taking major league hitters who just won a World Series and making them look kind of lost. That's impressive. It's not about – I mean, it helps to throw 99 miles an hour. But that's not all it's about. And if you throw 99 straight in the bigs, they're going to hit it.
It's going to turn around at 108.
Yeah, exit velocity is going to send balls shooting all over the Great American Ballpark.
Yeah.
It's all about placing pitches, keeping hitters off balance, soft contact. Strikeouts are fascist anyway.
It's true.
He'll be fine, I suspect. Major league scouts will look at it and go, well, we We'll work on him. People will be swinging wood and not aluminum.
You do wonder a little, though, about a 3 to 4 mile an hour drop in velocity over
the years. Sure. Makes you wonder if something's going wrong in the arm.
Yeah, nothing's been... He's still got life. It's still been fine. He's been healthy, but he's got a bad motion, though. He's got this little three-quarter thing
That would be...
It reminds me a little of Carson Fulmer when he came out of Vanderbilt. It's like, okay, people like him as a starter, but are we paying top 10 money for a dude that could have an arm injury and be a reliever in a year and a half?
The answer to that's no.
I mean, because it's kind of herky-jerky, and it's over here.
That's why, as much as I love Jake Arrieta, I will not be heartbroken when the Cubs let him walk at the end of the year.
Are they going to?
Probably. It's got arm injury written all over it.
How old's Arrieta?
Like 32? You going to be able to stay in that kind of shape in your mid to late 30s?
But at some point, if you're already 32 and you haven't, then...
But you're throwing across your body like that, and he can do it because he's built like a Greek god.
Yeah.
What happens when you tweak a hamstring and they can't do some of that stuff? What happens when your body, just in its mid-30s, begins to deteriorate some? Just a little. Does that little bit of deterioration cause an arm injury? Got to think about that when you're about to give him 7 years and $210 million.
After 2 weeks of seeing first-round picks with Alex Lang and Tanner Houck, Ole Miss gets a reprieve from that. Now they just get Blaine Knight, who has a 1.6 ERA for Arkansas, before headed to Gainesville in 2 weeks, where they get Alex Fajardo, another top-10 pick in this summer's draft.
Got to find a way in those six games to win three of them.
Because I think the two most winnable series are the ones after that. They go, right. They get Texas A&M back at home.
Yep.
Then they go finish at Auburn, and I get Auburn's a top five team today, but I'm bullish. I'm going to stick by that. I still think that's more winnable than Arkansas or Florida.
If you could find a way to get three of the next six, you're in great shape. Then get two against Texas A&M, get one at Auburn, you're 15 and 15.
You just take the pressure off if you can do that. Sure. Then suddenly it's, hey, go to Auburn. Look, we're not going to get swept, so go – let's see what happens.
Win a game. They finish at home or finish at Auburn?
At only three of the last 12 at home.
Yeah, got to go win some road games now. But they did what they had to do this weekend. All season long, they haven't been good enough to sweep people. So they get two. Got two. You did it the unconventional way, but it doesn't matter. You got two.
You did it the conventional way, but I will say this for this team. As much as everybody's harped on them for a lack of offense, defensive struggles at times, whatever, to be fairly young, they're pretty damn mentally tough because you're going into Saturday's game. On Friday night, Missouri's starter, their ace, is supposed to pitch. You get a little rain delay. Missouri sits him, says no, brings a reliever in the game, but throws a complete game against you. You get three hits to start the game, you get two runs in the first inning, and you get beat 9-3. You go to the ballpark on Saturday morning going, God, we lose today. We're three games under 500 in the league. They're throwing Houck. We hadn't hit hardly anybody all year. Yeah. Our guy, David Parkinson's got a stomach virus. He's not pitching today. We're handing the ball to Ryan Rollison, a freshman. You look up, Rollison throws six shutout innings, holds Missouri to one hit. He's going to be okay, by the way, down the road. And you get a couple against Houck. He helps you out. You get a big two-run single. Suddenly, you've won that game. You go into yesterday, still having to face two weekend starters because they've got the Montez de Oca kid and Plassmeyer left. You hammer both those guys by the fourth inning. You score nine runs. You're up 9-1. You end up winning 9-6. Thing could have spiraled quick right there. That's the most pivotal 2 days of the baseball season so far.
Sure. Had to win them. They did.
They did. So... get into a little more baseball talk as we move on with the podcast. Before we get too far into it, remember to pick up your plenty cards for the Oxford Exxon, PLENTI.com. Different retailers where you earn points and save money. All the different ways they can help you out with the credit card locations throughout Mississippi, up and down I-55, and in North Mississippi as well. Lunch specials, ribs at night, whatever you need. They can help you there with great gas prices and convenience stores that are clean also. And we're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. The phone number is 662-257-1900. Call that number. Tell Corey Clark what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes. And you can do two things. You can go take the quote and shop it around. That's your prerogative. You can call dealerships all over the country if it makes you happy. Or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for customers, as we've been telling you, from Cape Girardeau to Biloxi and all points in between, really. And that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's simple at Clark Ford. No haggling. Just right to the bottom line. It's an easy, efficient way to make your automotive purchase. So you call that number, and then at the end of your deal, say, hey, Corey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden. Either way, $500 off the bottom line at Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900, clarkfordinc.com.
So Ole Miss wakes up this morning with an RPI of, well, East Carolina's RPI 73. That's not very good. They did finally win an American Conference series after starting the they started the American Conference year 0-10.
That's not good.
Came back, beat Cincinnati twice to win the series, but oof. Like I said, I doubt Cliff's in a good mood day-to-day right now.
Probably not.
Pleasant, probably not the word for.
Probably doesn't go home just in a great mood. Or maybe he goes home and says, you know what, I'm so glad to be out of there for a little while.
I got to go back at 8 in the morning. But
yeah.
40 RPI this morning.
Oh, it's bubbly.
That's why 15 appears to be the number. I mean, at 14 in a weak bubble, who knows? It's happened before. But anything outside about 35, and I start thinking, well, need to get to 15, benefit of the doubt, I don't know.
Will Hoover matter?
It could. I mean, the problem with Hoover, because of that single elimination stuff,
yep,
is that you lose on Tuesday. And look, is this fair? No, but it's life. You're just out of the conversation for almost a full week. You know what I mean? Everybody else is still playing all week. The ACC is doing this pool play crap where
you disappear for 5 days.
Every team is playing through Friday. Even if you win or lose, you're just kind of there. People are watching you. You're playing some other teams. You're getting some other RPI opportunities, and you're doing some stuff. So, okay, let's just play a hypothetical out here. I'll say Ole Miss finishes, I don't know, ninth in the league, whatever.
Okay.
That's probably around that mark, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there.
Okay.
All right. They play, give them an RPI team. It's, or let's see. They were ninth, then let's see, 5, 12, 6, 11, 7, 10, 8, 9. So say they're in the 8, 9 game.
Okay.
That gives them a decent team, but not a great team from an RPI standpoint.
Like who?
Yeah, I'm trying to look at that. Let me pull the conference up real quick. We have time.
We have nothing.
Have all the time.
Nothing but time.
Okay. As of right now, that would be. And now look, there's a log jam. Second and tenth place in the SEC is separated by 3 games currently.
Okay.
That's not a shock. Let's just go Texas A&M.
Okay.
They're 10-8 in the league, so that wouldn't be crazy. Their RPI currently is 42.
Yeah. See, you're 40, they're 42. You play them on a Tuesday and you lose.
It's a top 50 loss, but it doesn't do anything for you.
Didn't help you. Didn't hurt you, but it didn't help you. Now you disappear for 5 days.
Yeah. And A&M, another team you're kind of competing against, depending on their record.
They get to play at least 2 more games. So they play on Wednesday.
So now they turn around in the 8-9 and they play the 1. So now suddenly they're playing, let's say, Florida with a 3 RPI or whomever. I hadn't looked.
And maybe you get lucky there because Florida goes, we really don't need to be here. We're not pitching anybody that matters. Let's get the hell out of here.
Actually, it would be Mississippi State right now.
Well, they would not do that with the tournament. That's their tournament, and by God, they will protect it. They will fight that tournament to the wall.
Yes.
But you get a chance to play the number one team.
State sweeping Alabama 13-5 right now in the SEC.
Guy's done a great job. No way around
holding
it.
Holding them together. Not a very talented team. Not a team on paper that sticks out. And frankly, a team that should be losing some of these games, but they're not.
A team that on paper is overachieving.
I think they've won 8 straight one-run games.
What's their RPI?
That's confidence. That's toughness. And that's also a little scary because that will reverse on you at some point.
Typically.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it doesn't happen until the next year.
Well, and the schedule's short enough where you're not seeing that 162 swing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Over 50 games. There's not.
Yeah, it's like you watch the Reds right now and you're like, that's not going to last. But it's fun for now.
They go to the clubhouse happy every morning.
Sure.
Or State is 19.
So tomorrow night matters.
Get a neutral site game tomorrow night. I think NCAA is kind of weird about what they do with RPIs, but truly to God, that's not a road or an alternate home game tomorrow night. They get confusing when they do that sometimes.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. It's neutral site.
It's like sometimes when Ole Miss plays at AutoZone, that's a neutral site instead of an alternate home for Memphis. It's like, it's a half mile from
here. Come on, man. You're playing Memphis in Memphis.
So, yeah, 19, Arkansas is 12. So, big week, 19, 12, three times. Florida is 7, gets Florida three times next week. Now, you do have to deal with your 230-something opponent in ULM twice next week. But
stop.
Well, if you lose one of those games.
Well, that could happen. Fighters.
As you said, they've won 12.
Won 12 games.
Yeah. The game that sticks out right now is when Ole Miss dealt with that crap in that midweek against Georgia State. They've got that midweek loss to Georgia State, which I believe is 274 in the RPI currently.
It's not good.
When they got beat 2-0 in 11 innings.
I remember that game.
Yeah. Score.
End of the world when that happened. Well, it turns out to be a big deal.
That actually probably affected their RPI three or four spots, honestly. The other two minus 100 losses are Memphis at 105. Okay, fine.
The opportunity is there to get into really good shape.
You could go and grab a couple games in Fayetteville and feel better in a hurry this week.
Yeah, you could win tomorrow, take 2 out of 3 in Fayetteville, and you wake up on Sunday morning going, you know what, I think we're all right.
Let's go beat ULM a couple times and go to Gainesville and see what happens. They are swinging a little better. From an at-bat standpoint, it's better.
What days are the ULM games?
Tuesday, Wednesday next week. Why?
I don't know. Might go see the alma mater.
Find that Alabama ULM shirt.
I wish I could find it. God, I wish I could find it.
How'd you lose that?
Hell, I don't know. We moved. I know.
You didn't lose your cup stuff.
I know. Hell no, I didn't lose that. I don't know how I lost it.
You didn't lose your Jock Jones jersey, but you
No, learned. I still have it. And that was back in my fat days, like really fat days, not just like kind of fat now, like really fat, huge.
So that jersey's big.
It's like a robe. Like a wrestling robe. And in the blue corner.
A little bit of news here for Ole Miss, seriously though, before I get too far off into the podcast and we go down who knows what direction. I'll ask about it again today, even though I doubt there's an answer today because Mike will have not have seen his team since I talked to him last, which was after last night or after yesterday's game. Dallas Wolfolk, Ole Miss's All-American closer, dealing with a tenderness in his shoulder Sunday. He was unavailable after throwing in Saturday's game and picking up the save in that game. So he was unavailable. He was not going to pitch no matter what. Will Etheridge has done a fantastic job. Will has not allowed a run over the last 11.2 innings. Over the last 7 appearances for the freshman out of the bullpen, but
God, I wouldn't even take him to Jackson.
Obviously, incredibly critical for Wolfolk to be healthy heading into the rest of the season.
I mean, if you told me that he could be ready by the end of the weekend in Fayetteville, I swear I wouldn't even let him get on the bus.
Don't be tempted.
Yeah, just if you're not there, I can't call on you. Go sit in your apartment and don't do anything with your arms.
Yeah,
just.
Just order a pizza and eat with your left hand.
Yeah. A wheat crust pizza, preferably. Don't do anything that might upset your stomach, anything. Just chill.
Yeah.
Just go study.
I did not sense a major concern. Mike was in a really, really good mood, and he would not be in a really, really good mood if he was worried about Dallas Wolfolk yesterday.
So it's probably just sore.
I got a feeling he just came in on Sunday. They started doing the little workout stuff. Started throwing it around, and he went, you know, just – and they went, out. Okay, sit down. None today.
Yeah. If I were them, I'd say just – we're leaving on Wednesday for Fayetteville. Be on the bus.
Yeah, we're going to put you on the 25.
Yeah. Ride the bus to Fayetteville. Just give it a couple of days. He's been used a lot.
Yeah, they've used him a lot.
Just have a 3-day break here. It's not – You can text your teammates after the game.
You're not from Jackson. You're not seeing family. It'll be all right.
Yeah, just chill. I'm totally serious, by the way.
Don't even come and just don't bring your cleats.
No. Because then you're tempted to go, hey, go get your cleats. Just chill. Take a day. Unless you know he's fine. If you know he's fine, it just was a one-day fatigue thing. Otherwise, I give him a three-day break.
Woolfolk on the season has a 1.26 ERA. He's thrown 28 innings over 20 appearances. He has allowed, 15 hits, has 33 strikeouts and 3 walks. Opponents are hitting 152 against him. That normally will play. Reliever, 33 Ks, 3 walks.
That's good.
It's okay.
Pretty good. Wouldn't want to lose him, is my point.
Will Etheridge, 44 strikeouts, 9 walks, a 2.41 ERA for the freshman. So that's where Ole Miss is statistically. Let's see. 2 players over 300 now after decent weeks. Nick Fortes, 301. Will Golson, 301 as well. Ryan Olenek, 287. Colby Wortles, 284. Tim Rowe, 276. And in league play, Fortes, 368 in league play. Golson, 333. Tim Rowe, 326. Bortles, 294 in league play for a quick rundown there. Again, Ole Miss sitting at 9-9 in the SEC. SEC standings, Mississippi State, 13-5. One game ahead of 12-6 Arkansas and 12-6 Auburn. A&M at 10-8. LSU at 10-8. Ole Miss at 9-9. And the Crimson Tide of Alabama, after getting swept by Mississippi State, including losing one game because you dropped a pop-up in the infield that would have won it, 2-16 in the SEC under Greg Goff.
The two were nice.
They were early, too. They've lost a lot in a row.
Yeah.
What are you doing when you come to the ballpark at 2-16 in the league?
Sunflower seeds, bubble gum.
It's hard to have much energy, wouldn't it?
5-hour energy drinks. I don't know, man. You're done. Your season is over. You are playing out the string.
If you got hot.
No. If you go 12-0, you're 14-16. I mean, and you're not going 12-0. I mean, you're staring 5-25 square in the face.
And that would take an improvement.
Yeah.
That would take going 3-9 in your last.
Giving them some wins. I mean, it's awful.
They also have the toughest remaining schedule in the league.
Of course they do. It sucks to go to practice right now.
Oh.
Oh, God, it sucks.
And depending on who the coach is, if he's this high-strung type or, oh, God.
Because now's the time if you're a coach, if you have, does he have security at all?
He's in like year one.
Yeah, you got to be loose. Go recruit. Just be loose.
Well, chill. Yeah, you walk into the AD's office and go, hey, my guys. What do you need to do?
It's not my fault.
You fired the last dude because of this.
Good call firing last dude.
I'd have fired him
These
too.
Guys suck.
Yeah, I'm not pitching. What do you mean?
Yeah.
This is funny, though. A team that bad, you know what their finish is? I knew it was bad. I know
probably
it was
Vandy, Florida.
Okay, their last 5 series. They played State. State's pretty good right now record-wise. LSU, Auburn, Florida, Vanderbilt.
That's not good.
There aren't 3 wins on that slate, Hoss.
God, they go 3-27. What's the worst that league's ever finished?
I thought 5-25.
Well, they're running.
Ole Miss went 6-24 in 97.
Good news is that'll get them the first pick in the draft next year, so that'll help.
It will. It will not be their tournament in Hoover this year. Mm-hmm. That is good. Bama being out of that tournament's nice.
It's going to piss Nick Saban off so bad he's going to go out and get five more 5-star defensive linemen.
Well, the problem with Bama and Hoover is they all show up.
Well, yeah, because I heard Bama's playing.
And they're not baseball fans. They know nothing about these
Well, once they get there, they realize, oh, we're not playing football because you'd see Bama football jerseys all in the stadium. It's like.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You see tons of Bama football jerseys.
Little Bobby Jr. Found out Bama's playing over at Hoover. Let's go.
There's football play today.
Where's Jalen Hurts, Mama? I don't see Jalen, Mama. Mama, where's Coach Saban?
He should coach baseball, too. They wouldn't be 2-16.
Hell no, be real good. It's all part of the process. Well, we're here. Let's just cheer for the Tide anyway, mama.
Yeah, Auburn's going to be there. Bama's not. Yeah. And then it looks like Georgia or Tennessee will not.
Auburn will be there. Ole Miss and State will be there.
LSU.
LSU will be there.
Arkansas.
In all of its glory.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. Why do they even talk about moving the damn thing out of Hoover? They're never moving it out of Hoover. That was just to apply some pressure to the people in Hoover. It worked.
I said, if you're AutoZone part, do you even bid next time?
No, you go, nah, we're good. Remember our,
I'm not going to do your dog and pony.
That's what you say. Remember our bid from the last time? If you still have that, you can submit it. If you don't worry about it. We're good.
Yeah, whatever it says, do some cost of living inflation on it and
whatever. Whatever. We've now spent 6 more seconds on this than we intended to buy. I would treat the SEC call like I would a telemarketer. Who's this? No. Click.
Yeah, they weren't moving it.
No. You're calling about the warranty on my car from 12 years ago? No, I'm good. Bye.
What if the Georgia guy's on the hot seat? But they keep hiring people and they all just keep sucking.
It's kind of my... I'm trying not to get into this and piss off the message board again. It's sort of my be careful what you wish for.
Georgia, 5-13 in the SEC.
Unbelievable.
It makes no freaking sense. Right. I know I say this all the time. It makes no sense.
It's unbelievable.
They'd kill for Dave Perno right now. Three Omahas in 7 years or whatever.
High school. I mean, how many college baseball players?
Cobb and Gwinnett counties.
Holy shit.
And you get them at a reduced scholarship rate?
How do you not win?
Southern Tennessee's pretty good in baseball. The Chattanooga area. Tennessee sucks. Not like they're stealing all the kids from you.
You get Atlanta.
Yeah.
You travel baseball teams are in Atlanta?
Couple.
What's A&M?
10-8 in the league.
See, that's what I understand. Georgia ought to at least be 10-8 in the league.
Well, just be competitive. They're not making Hoover right now.
No, Georgia baseball is Texas A&M East. Why does it not work? I don't understand. I really don't. Swear to God, I don't. It's baffling.
Oh, because you're saying Texas A&M should always be good because of Houston.
Yeah. And they should because of Houston. Houston's huge. You know travel baseball teams are in Houston? You can't find some good – it's like AAU.
Yeah.
I mean, I get why Ole Miss and Mississippi State struggle in basketball. Like, there's one AAU program in the whole damn state.
So?
I don't understand how you can be bad in baseball at Georgia. Where do all the players go? Georgia Tech's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, everybody raids Atlanta. Everybody raids Georgia. Everybody recruits them. But Georgia does a bad job of picking. Yeah. They don't recruit the right kids. It's an evaluation problem is what it is. And, I mean, this is giving them an out they don't deserve. A lot of those kids in the area are more likely to sign and go pro than a lot of kids in other areas.
Sure.
That's still flimsy as hell, but it's at least part of the – more elaborate discussion.
But you shouldn't suck.
No.
There's no excuse to suck there. You could be mediocre.
They hired a dude who could win and get to the College World Series at Kent State, and he can't get to the SEC tournament at Georgia.
When multiple people fail, you start thinking this is systemic. It's a program thing. It's
well,
not.
Why?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. They don't win in basketball.
No.
Atlanta produces basketball players.
Yeah.
And they can't go immediately to the pros. They have to go somewhere for a year.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. One of the last great mysteries, Georgia baseball sucking inside the Southeastern Conference.
But I'll tell you what, people from all over the country want to go play football at the University of Georgia now. All over the country. Flocking to Athens.
Yeah.
Flocking!
Get to a football store there in a second. First,
even beating the hell out of the girlfriends first.
Podcast brought to you in part by Right Way Meds, located in Holly Springs, delivering your medicine to your door. Might need some medicine if you're around Athens long enough.
They can
bring it over there. It just means more. 662-252-8913 for Right Way Meds, rightwaymeds.com. Also, if you're a doctor or medical provider Let them help with your compliance numbers. So give them a call or check them out online, rightwaymeds.com. Right way, right time for you.
The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. He is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He is the sponsor of my 10 Weekend Thoughts, which are up on the site. Seven out of the 10 thoughts are Ole Miss related. One is alcohol related, and one is a bunch of links and a Michael Beschloss tweet. And one is, well, actually two are NBA. Six of the 10, which is pretty good this time of year because there's no football. Six of 10 are Ole Miss related. So Harry sponsors those. Go to Harry's sites, harryalexander.com. Click on the properties neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. Send him an email. It's harryalexander.com. H-A at harryalexander.com is the email. Brought to you by Snooze Mattress Company, Snooze 2202 Jackson Avenue West in Oxford. It's the place to go for all of your bedding needs. Snooze is, you got all the brands you know and love, Jameson, Tempur-Pedic, Serta, it's all there. Mattresses, mattress protectors, linens, pillows, everything you might be looking for is there at Snooze. It's gosnooze.com. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're looking for a Nissan vehicle, it's the place to go. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy you heard about it on the podcast. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. And we'll have guests on the show throughout the week. They'll come to you via the Rebel Locker Room hotline. The Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford. It is the place to go for all of your Ole Miss apparel needs, whatever the style, whatever color, they've got it. All of the officially licensed gear there at the Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford.
What we were alluding to earlier, Georgia incoming player DeAntony Demery, no longer part of the Georgia football program. Kirby Smart rescinded his scholarship following his arrest Saturday night on charges of simple battery and criminal trespass, damaged property in downtown Athens. Interesting from the standpoint of quick decision. There's a message board thread about that.
Give Kirby credit.
Just going to ask. Double standard because he's a three-star, not the number 15 player in the country?
Probably. Five-star, it just means more. Bad look for the league, man. Bad look over the weekend.
Not a bad look if you kick him off immediately.
No, and the deal of the kid from Tampa is going to kill himself. That's going to kill him in the NFL draft. Just yeah. Kill him.
Yeah.
As it should. Don't hit girls.
Thought I saw somewhere on Twitter 30 NFL draft potential draftees had been arrested at some point. I think I saw that.
It's a huge number.
Yeah, I forget what percentage they thought that was, but it was high.
If you're raising boys, don't hit girls. No matter how much she might piss you off, walk away. Walk away. Go cool off. Get in your car and leave. Get in your friend's car and leave. Get on your feet and leave. Leave. Don't choke her. Don't hit her. Nothing good can happen. Nothing. Walk away. And if you feel a compelling urge to continue to do it, get her out of your life.
Are you surprised Smart did something while it was simply charges and not convictions or pleas?
No, I'm sure he talked to the police. You can't have that. As much as I want to make fun of everybody, he's got his program going. You can't risk it. You've got to show standards.
Yeah, I was just reading a little bit of the information provided by the Athens Clark County Police. Officers were sent to a local Waffle House at 9:15 after it was reported that a black male was strangling a female. The information from police stated further that neither person were there when officers arrived, but police soon received a 911 call saying a female subject wanted to press charges against Demery, who were each contacted the Boar's Head Bar downtown. At that time, she and Demery got into an argument. The female started to walk away, and Demery said, "If you walk away, I'm going to show you." At that time, police say that Demery grabbed the back of the female's neck and pushed her against a wall, clutching her by the back of the neck. Police also said that Demery threw her, quote, threw her, causing her glasses to fall off, causing her phone to fall out of her hand, causing it to hit the ground, which resulted in a crack of the screen. Okay, I don't know why that's relevant, but whatever. Demery admitted to having physical contact with a woman who said he had been physically violent with her in the past. Reading there from UGASports.com, part of the Rivals Network. So a few of the details there is.
And there's probably a video somewhere, something.
Always is.
Yeah.
Crowded bar downtown Athens. Somebody pulled a phone out.
I did love how all the Georgia fans said, "Well, he wasn't part of the program, so it doesn't count. You had just introduced him at your spring game that day."
Oh, that day. Really?
Yeah. That day. Come on.
Oh, he like waved to the crowd in Sanford Stadium.
Oh, yeah, Saturday. Yeah. They introduced all their signees that were there. He was part of your program.
Yes, that closes that loophole very quickly.
You're a liar, McCready. Okay. He wasn't yet officially on the roster.
You had a busy day on Twitter. You got killed by the Georgia people. You went after your own Thunder player.
Yeah, it was a bad look by Russ.
Got hammered yesterday.
We'll get into it, I'm sure, in a minute. Bad look for Russell. And I love Russell. I understand his frustration. He was defending his teammates. It was a bad look. The $100 million player sitting next to you is a grown man. He's capable of answering that question on his own.
Okay, let's set this up. Press conference following the Thunder's loss to the Rockets, dropping the series now to 3-1 Houston.
A game where the Thunder led by 15.
They had to win, had to get it back 2-2. Series is over now.
Had to win and had the game in position to win it. Russell's mortal. He has to come out and sit for a minute. You can't play 48 straight minutes in an NBA game. It's just impossible.
I don't have verbatim, but the reporter asked Stephen Adams, sitting next to Russell Westbrook.
It was Barry Trammell.
Oklahoman columnist, very respected.
Long-time columnist. Think Rick Cleveland in the heyday.
Yeah. So he asked essentially, why do you guys struggle so much with Russ off the court?
Yeah. And Stephen was getting ready to lean forward. Stephen Adams, by the way, for those who don't follow the Thunder, and I know that's 99.99% of you, is the best quote on the team.
Oh, is he really?
Yes. Okay. Phenomenal with media. And Stephen Adams was leaning forward to give an answer, and he probably would have given a thoughtful, insightful answer. And Russell said, "Hang on, Stephen." And he said, "Look, we're not going to do this. We're not going to divide the team." And Barry Trammell said, "I'm not trying to divide the team, Russell. I'm asking Stephen a question." And Russell said, "Next question. You know, you can ask him why we're bad, why whatever, whatever." Russell's standing up for his teammates, and he keeps going, "Next question." And Barry Trammell says, "I'm not giving up the mic. I want to ask Stephen a question." And Stephen just kind of shakes his head.
I get it's your team leader. Why wouldn't Stephen just answer the damn question?
Probably in that moment, he was ceding to the authority of Russell Westbrook. Russell's defending his team. I get it. It's just not a good look.
From a player standpoint, number one, you're a professional basketball player making millions of dollars. Let the other guy making millions of dollars answer the damn question.
A year ago, when the Mark Cuban thing happened with Russell Westbrook not being a superstar, and Russell was asked about it, Kevin Durant was sitting there next to him and said, no, I got this. That's
whatever he said.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
He's an idiot. And Russell never had to answer the question. I'm sure this was Russell's way of standing up for his teammates. You wonder if this will be the next stage in repeating history will come this offseason when Russell says, "No, I'm not signing the extension." I think he will. Look, here's the deal at the end of the day for that team. They're not deep enough.
Yeah,
when he goes off, when he's on the floor, the Thunder are beating the Rockets. When he goes off the floor, the Thunder are getting killed by the Rockets. Lou Williams for the Rockets gave a great quote, because when Russell leaves the floor, we get excited because we know we can get him. It's going to get right after him.
From a player standpoint, and really a fan standpoint too, and you even do this with coaches some, you really appreciate coaches that recognize what you're doing.
Yeah.
Trammell's question is an obvious answer. And with players getting it and fans going hearing it, you go, why in the hell did you ask that? It's obvious. Duh. The rest of the team sucks. So, A, you're either looking for a really, really logistical answer on what happens, give me a breakdown of whatever, or a lot of times And Mike's good about regurgitating this back to me because he knows what I'm doing. I know the answer. I just need you to say it so I have the quote.
I need the quote. Well, the other thing was there's a storyline in Oklahoma City about why Billy Donovan, in those minutes that Russell's off the floor, why he does not use Victor Oladipo as the point guard, a playmaker. You don't have to, in the NBA, be a traditional playmaker, a traditional point guard. For those handful of minutes, could Oladipo come in and run offense? And it was a complicated answer. I'm sure Draymond, I need to go read his column. I'm sure he was working on a fairly complex column. Part of their problem is all year they've run their second unit through Enes Kanter. And in this series, because of the way that the Rockets space the floor, Kanter's such a horrific defender that he can't stay on the floor. So they lose a scorer in their second unit. And they're not deep enough like, say, the Warriors. Where when the Warriors run their second unit out there, they run it with Durant. It's Durant and four dudes. Well, who do you think scores?
Yeah.
Durant starts the game. He comes out earlier than Curry and Thompson and Green. And they put in Iguodala and they put in Macau and those guys. And they run Durant back out there to operate the second unit. Billy Donovan doesn't have that luxury, especially when he has to take Kanter off the floor.
So just kind of a reset here for people. The Cavs have swept the Pacers 4-0. They're on to the next round.
Yeah, LeBron James does not lose first-round games.
Yeah. He has now swept 10 opponents in best-of-seven series in the NBA playoffs. Rockets 113-109 over the Thunder, 3-1 there, headed back to Houston. Celtics win both games in Chicago, now 104-95 in game 4, 2-2 headed back to Boston in that series. The 8 got a little spunky early, but without Rajon Rondo and others, that was a matter of time.
And and Isaiah Thomas is now playing at a really high level, and Jimmy Butler's frustrated.
Jazz 105, Clippers 98 last night in Utah. That's 2-2 headed back to LA.
It's over for the Clippers. Griffin's out. Gobert's back. The Clippers are going to break it up. And if you're Chris Paul, you've got to look at this and say, I'm 32. I'm one of the best five-point guards to ever play the game. I'm never getting a ring here. I've got to get the hell out. Where do I go?
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer.
Bucks-Raptors tonight, 2-2, back in Toronto.
If you don't know anything about either one of those two teams, and you're looking for an NBA series to just sit back and have a glass of wine and watch a great game, this series has been very entertaining.
Wizards-Hawks in Atlanta, 2-1 Washington there.
I think Washington's going to get game four tonight in Atlanta and end this.
Okay, and then Warriors-Trailblazers. Warriors can finish off the sweep in Portland tonight in the late game. That is a 9:30 Central tip for that one.
And then the one that we haven't mentioned yet, Spurs-Grizzlies. Game four of that series was an absolute classic.
Game five for that is tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Central, back at the AT&T Center in San Antonio.
Yeah, just game four. I can't – did you watch any of it?
Yeah, I saw some of it.
Fantastic game. It was great.
The line for game five, 9.5 for the Spurs.
Yeah, it'd be hard to go win in San Antonio. But if you're Memphis and you can, if you do it, woo.
Six gets.
Well, you could win game six at home. It was a great game. Kawhi Leonard was awesome. Mike Conley matched him. Mike Conley was fantastic. The coaching was great. The atmosphere was great. Role players on both teams stepped up. And then late in the game, the plays that Leonard made, the plays that Conley made were just awesome. It was awesome basketball. God, it was great. And then Gasol makes just a monster shot to end it. Got just a shred of space and made a bucket, big-time bucket. Fun series. Great series. It's been a great series. And I love watching games where at the end superstars just step up and carry their teams. And Kawhi Leonard and Mike Conley, in my opinion, are both superstars. Yes. Leonard's from a two-way player standpoint, the only person that you could hold up against him is LeBron. That's it.
16 straight points of the night.
Yeah. And defends like an animal. and is – you want to hate Kawhi Leonard? I mean, I cheer for a team that's a Spurs rival too. He's not hateable. He does nothing to merit hate. Like, it's easy to hate Draymond Green. It's easy to hate Zach Randolph. Probably easy to hate Steven Adams.
Yeah.
Hard to hate Kawhi Leonard, man. You can try. Grizzly fans all over the place right now are going, well, I'm trying really hard. Yeah, but his game's beautiful. He does nothing out. He does nothing to bring attention to himself. He doesn't play dirty. He doesn't play on the fringe. Nope. He plays a gorgeous game of basketball. He is.
It's a Popovich guy right there.
He's I love watching Kawhi Leonard play. I mean, the only thing, if you want to hate him, you can hate him because he's not on your team. That's it.
Been telling you for a little while now, podcasts also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full-service lawn maintenance and landscape company, serving the Oxford, Tupelo, and surrounding areas. Just some philosophies. They do what they say they're going to do, and they say they're going to do it. They have open and honest communication with customers and employees. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. Irrigation, lighting, landscape, turf, and more. Whatever you need them to do, they can take care of it. If your yard's up to par, give MasterCuts a call for a free quote, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. And a reminder that if you sign an annual contract, first cut is on them when you mention the podcast.
Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. No 10 buttons to press, no 5-minute wait. OUB has the absolute best free checking account you'll find anywhere. It's called Kasasa. It comes complete with cash back or interest options. If you have a Kasasa account, OUB will refund your ATM fees nationwide. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. If you are looking to buy or sell land anywhere in Mississippi, give Michael a call. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works for Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. He's from the Delta, lives in Jackson, travels up this way all the time. No one knows the recreational and timberland tract in Oxford better than he does. The land market's really hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, your home with acreage, now's the time. Give him a call today, 662-719-3967. He's ready to meet with you, explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he says he doesn't deserve it. So go check out his Facebook page. Send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
Our newest company to tell you about, Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga, all over the area. 30 years old as of this year, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. It's also the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. Ask for Jason about Community Mortgage and the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate there as well. So check them out, 662-234-2704, JLOWE, at communitymtg.com. They can take care of you, help me out back in the day when I went through that, and probably will when I do again as well. So again, Community Mortgage there to help you out in condo and home buying situations. 10 Thoughts, you wrote a good bit, Neil, about Rebel Road Trip. It was in Nashville last night. I think Corinth was on the list today. I saw it. I think there's 3 stops today. Don't have that schedule, but I'll get it in a second. Yeah, Greenville, Olive Branch, and Corinth today are your stops for the Rebel Road Trip. And it looks like last night some information was conveyed to those in attendance. They kind of matched the schedule of reporting. I don't think anything went too in-depth, but it appears that they relayed kind of what we've been saying for a while, October, November, for the final verdict or the sanctions, and just kind of probably being careful, but at least answering questions last night.
Yeah. I'd love to listen in on one of those. Something tells me they probably would prefer media not be at them.
It's covered by a lot of media.
Is it?
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
Yeah. I know Parrish always goes the one in Tupelo and different things. Thought you were saying something.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I gave my advice, which is just be honest. I think it's a weird time right now. You can give them hopeful, but give them honest. Whatever that is. I think they would tell you they are.
Yeah, if it ends up better than you say, that's just a positive. That's not a problem.
That's fine. We'll get attacked. You guys said it was going to be horrible. No. I said it might be. I've said the investigators want it to be. Stand by that 100%. Can you win? Yeah, I guess you can win. Can you lose? What happens if you lose? If I'm a consumer, if I'm a ticket holder, if I'm someone that, as I said, loads my Clark Ford Expedition with my family of five in Chattanooga and drives to Oxford 5-6 times a year for football games, I want to be told the truth. I can handle it, whatever it is. I don't want to be told, oh, you're keeping Durant, and then you don't.
Nope. Yeah, discretionary income is at stake right now.
Yeah, like I said, the group they met with last night, it'd be real easy for those people to go, you know what? Screw it. Me and the guys at the office have been talking about going in together on Preds tickets for 2 years now. I'm going to do it. Because when the Preds play the Bruins on a Thursday night in November, you can cheer real hard for the Preds. You don't really care. They win, great. They lose, great. You go out, you have a drink with your buddies or with your wife or your girlfriend or whatever after the game's over, and you head back to Green Hills.
Yeah.
In your bed by 11:30. You're a little tired the next day at work, but you're good. It's a fun night. Hired a babysitter. Different deal when you had to get in the car and load the family of five and head to Oxford on Friday afternoon. Get in a hotel. Get everybody fed. Go to the game. Go to the Grove. Load all that stuff. Go to the game. Get back. Get back on Sunday. And as soon as you get back, you got to go to the grocery store. You got to get ready for the week ahead. Little Bobby's got soccer practice. Little Janie's got soccer practice. It's a weird time. I think it's a time for Ole Miss for absolute transparency. I mean,
that's what we talked about for a couple of weeks. Also, a time to open up the product, make everything accessible, let people care.
Yeah. I still think that's where they are right now. I don't know. It's an odd. Odd's not the right word. It is a tenuous, maybe, few months. Today's April the 25th? Fourth? What's today? Fourth?
Fourth.
May 1st is a week from today. So sometime in the next month, realistically, Ole Miss is going to issue its release. It was May 23rd. That's the 3 months.
Yeah.
So sometime in the next 28 to 33 days or so, I expect the release, don't you?
Well, yeah, that's about right, yeah.
It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, that'll open up, see where we are in this process, see kind of where Ole Miss is and start – being able to provide some analysis to what we think there with precedents and different things.
I don't remember the first response. It was pretty detailed, right?
Incredibly. Remember, it came out in Hoover. I was in Hoover
that
morning.
That's right. It was a lot of reading.
Yeah. They released the entire response and the entire NOA, if I remember correctly.
With just redacted names?
Yeah. Because you had all the hot takes from people who didn't actually read the document. They just scanned a couple pages and then, and it was much more complex than that.
That's right. So that's going to be really good reading. And then in 2 months, the NCAA will respond to it.
Correct.
Which means June, July. Sometime late July, right around media. Well, media days is mid-July. Media days is early this year. It's like the week after the 4th.
Yeah.
And just word to the wise, for those who were offended by Barry Trammell's question of Stephen Adams yesterday, that type of fan, don't pay attention to Ole Miss's day at media days if that bothers you, because that's going to be a circus. And it's going to be nothing but NCAA questions, with the exception of a handful of questions that'll be planted in the audience probably, keeping it real. Someone will say, Coach, let's talk about football. And ask some football question that will.
And you'll probably have an introduction from Freeze in the main room. Les Miles has done this in the past. It is a filibuster.
If he's smart,
it'll go for 25 minutes.
He'll filibuster for 30 minutes, and you'll hear about backup holders that you did not know existed unless you were the parents of said holder.
Yeah.
That's probably the smart thing to do. It will lead to a lot of snark. Prepare thyself is my point. That day, one way or the other, is going to be a challenge for Ole Miss fans who are sensitive to media.
Yeah, so we'll see. A lot more Rebel road trip stops, and then we'll get some guests on the podcast this week on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Baseball Tuesday night, Ole Miss and Mississippi State. From Pearl, it's the annual Governor's Cup. Ole Miss trying to not lose all four to the Bulldogs this season after being swept in Oxford. And then again, Fayetteville this weekend, Thursday to Saturday there. So, for now, Chase, talk to you tomorrow.